Hey y'all, welcome to The Root Podcast. My name is Reverend Lauren Gerlach, and I am so glad that you have carved out time for being here today. Over the years, The Root has blossomed into so much more than a Bible study. It's truly a community where we do life together and follow Jesus, and we invest a pocket of time every week in reading scripture and asking questions and just sinking our teeth into what God is calling us toward in the week ahead. While The Root class meets on Sundays, this podcast is here for you. And I am so glad that you have landed here with us. So settle in, grab your cup of coffee, and flip your Bible open to the book of Acts. Let's get started. All right, good morning, good morning. If we could all find our seats, I know that's challenging at times. I know. I wouldn't, except we have a special guest, so I want to make sure to honor her time. So first of all, hi, how are y'all? So good to see y'all. Welcome back. Happy fall. I know we have a lot of people still on extended summer vacations, and I know some of y'all are going to beat the heat in August in the next few weeks. So it's always good with whoever we have. And this is just awesome that we're all back here getting started. We have a special announcement to make, and, wanted to kick off our class with that. So I have asked Kim, who is wearing her robe and stole, because currently she's in the 9:30 traditional service right now. So she needs to go talk right now and then go back upstairs. That's how committed we are to this. Let me turn your mic on.
Yeah, I might have walked out when Jennifer started praying and people are like, that's a rude pastor. But I wanted to tell you something that we're very, very excited about, which is why I thought I could keep on my clergy outfit. We are going to start a new worship service here at St. Andrew. You might have heard a little rumblings about it, but we're going to do an 11 o'clock traditional service in Hasley Chapel. And we have the honor and privilege where Lauren is going to be the primary preacher of that service. And we are so excited. Lauren and I have been, I don't know, a year probably. But really lately we've been diving into what this service is going to look like. It's going to have a very traditional flair. You'll see pastors in robes and stoles. You'll hear hymns. You'll hear liturgy. You'll hear amazing messages, all weaved out through the love of God. And so this is the first official announcement. We thought y'all would be the first to get that announcement. We're excited. So September 22nd at 11 o'clock, Hasley Chapel will have a service. So what I'm going to ask you to do between now and then is pray. Pray that this service is exactly what the church needs. Pray that Lauren has the confidence and the peace of God as she leads that service. Pray for our music team as they help lead that service and all the other pastors that are going to be a part of it as acting liturgists. But most of all, pray for the people that are going to come to this service, the people who have a new opportunity to worship. We're announcing new pastors today. And last night, Greg is one of he's our new pastor of men and mission. And he was like, so how many services do you have a weekend? Because he was here last night with me Saturday night. I was like, well, Saturday, Sunday, 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 Sunday. And what an amazing thing it is that we have all these different opportunities for people to share in the love of Christ and to grow in their faith. No matter how you choose to worship, no matter when you choose to worship, we got a spot for you. There is zero excuse for not coming to church. So I do ask, though, first and foremost, that you pray for this service. You cover this service in God's holy grace in each and every day that we step closer and closer to it. Anything else? Okay, I'm going to go sneak back in upstairs.
And Rachel, who are a couple that have been in The Root for a very long time, very committed to this 9:30 hour of Bible study, have become great friends of mine and also have been now serving on a behind-the-scenes launch team for this new service at 11 o'clock traditional. So I want to invite them up just for a second for them to tell you a little bit about what they're excited about and their story.
Hey, everyone. I'm Clay.
I'm Rachel.
We've been asked to be on the launch team, and it's been a very, very fun last couple months. We've been meeting in the Hasley Chapel where Tecumseh it's going to be, and talking about all the details of the service, all the different ins and outs and nuances, and we're so excited because we can still come to this class and make it up to chapel. And just being in chapel, I think, is just such a cool deal where it's going to be, so beautiful. And we had the choir come up and sing some previews for us. And they're going to sing up in the loft and sing down. And it was so, so just holy and reverent and just refreshing to hear that sound in that chapel. And so we're very excited. We've been talking about all the nuances, what time the lights come on, how long is it going to take Lauren to get from here to there after this service. So we're going to have to be a little bit more prompt in this class, okay? But we're so excited that we can still keep coming to here and give this offering to the church up at 11. And we're actually we met in a traditional service. We met in the greeting of the peace at our old church. So our pastor that married us at our old church said, you're the first couple that's met in the greeting of the peace and getting married. And so it's just been a great time. We've been so honored to be a part of this and excited. You know, anything else?
We're just really excited, and it's going to be traditional. So if that's what you've been looking for at 11 a.m., then come and join us. So excited.
That's a nice way to just launch off the fall series. Really wasn't sure on when Kim was going to slip out of worship, so that was perfect. We really never do that, so that was very thrilling. I want to just wrap this up with, The Root has my heart and always will. The Root was something I was asked to start by Arthur 2.5 years ago, and he said, people need to know the Bible, and there currently isn't anything at 9:30. Like, why don't you just do that? And I'm like, what? And he's like, however you want that to look, however you think we'll make this successful and healthy and thriving for the church, whatever the Holy Spirit's telling you to do, do that. And I got your back. And here we are 2.5 years later. It was funny, when my team member was printing the roster, she ended up doing a full count, and it was 328 people that have cycled in and out, have at some point sat in the seats you're sitting in, or do on occasion when they're in town, when they're here. Some have moved away. Some listen to the podcast. Whatever. For me, ministry has never been about quantity. It has always been about the Spirit of God and what God is doing in one person. And it takes all of us, but it takes one at a time for us to really make this world what Christ calls us to. So the Root will not change. The only thing that might be a little bit of a loving, gentle, like, nudge is the timing, just so we can still hang out and have friends and catch up, but also have time to, you know, make things happen multiple places on this campus, which is nothing new to St. Andrew. If you've seen this place on a regular Sunday or on Christmas and Easter, you see us all over the place. It'll just be like more of that, because guess what? More people are coming to this church body, and there is nothing I want to do to dissuade that. That's amazing. There are 41 million people that consider themselves nonverts, which is they used to be religious and now they don't see themselves as religious. 41 million people. So the fact that you're at a church that is growing in spirit and in love for God, but also in attendance, it's a really special thing, and we want to make it happen. So that's what's going on. If any of these things interest you, ushering, being a baptism steward, crucifer, acolyte, communion server, anything like that, and you're more of a traditional guy or gal, let me know, or let Rachel and Clay know, and they can get the word back to our team and add you to the roster, and we can worship together. So otherwise, ta-da, we're here. We're back to Acts. This past summer, we did the Faith, Hope, and Love series. Did y'all like that? How was that?
Brilliant.
Yeah? Okay. Are you clapping for the breakfast or for the series? Okay. Yeah, Ray is for the breakfast. Yeah. I was scared to ask. We had so much fun together. It was just like a 3-week mini series, but such a good way to see old friends and make some new ones. And I know a lot of people who usually haven't attended the Root were able to make that one. But now that we're back in Acts, I want to highlight, if you have an Acts Bible journal, bring it. Great. If you don't, bring a Bible, bring your phone. Buy one on Amazon, whatever you want. If you lost it, don't tell anyone. Just buy a new one. Easy. It's like $5. So we have been using these. They've been great. A quick note on the Bible journals. So we're going to finish out the whole book of Acts. There are 28 chapters. We're going to make it through by Thanksgiving. Good? Woo! Okay. Other than that, though, in January, on January 5th, I think it is, I will see y'all here, and we will be starting Genesis. And we will go verse by verse through the book of Genesis. And it will be awesome. It has so many good stories, has a lot of theology, a lot of good questions that come from it, of course. But all that to say, I already bought your copy for Genesis, okay? So don't buy one of those. I have 300 copies sitting in my office. So we need to find homes for those 300 copies in January. So just take care of your Acts one, okay? With that said, a few other announcements. Today will be a lot of announcements, just so we can cross all of our T's. Signing in is super important. Those of you who have been here for a while, you know the routine, check your name. On Monday, someone rolls in my office every Monday, and they say, hey, Lauren, where's the Root roster? And sometimes I have to say, wait, hold on, let me go through and let me check. And I have a photographic memory, so I can kind of remember. And now those of you who, like, maybe close your eyes are wondering, like, if she's seen me, because I can remember where you're sitting, what's happening, no judging, but please sign in, because otherwise I'm trying to think, did I see so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I did. Okay. It helps you, it helps me, it helps the church, and it avoids awkward conversations on a Monday. Also, other signups, the hospitality, the tablecloths, the decor, the things that you've seen for a long time. In the past, we have not really had a sign-up or a volunteer team that's doing that. That's changing. Now we have one. It's being led by Scott and Sue Smith, if you would raise your hands so people know who you are. Yep. Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you want to be a part of that or sign up to take a shift, take a Sunday, let them know. They would love to have you. And they have done a wonderful job of making this room feel the way it does, especially in the back, those areas of community. With that, you may have noticed that we have coffee now, like in a very formal way. Yeah, sure. Claps for the coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I can appreciate it. We're going to figure out a routine and a rhythm, but that's new, so that if you're someone who wants to worship at 11, either traditional or contemporary, you can come here and kind of linger then between 10:30 and 11 if you have the time and want to stay in community here. That's great. Have some more coffee. Other updates. So we have different ways you can reach out, get connected. If you don't follow the Instagram, do that. If you need to email me anytime about anything related to the church, the Bible, theology, faith, worship, please do. It's so easy, and I really appreciate when people take the time to do that and can help answer any questions you have, so don't be afraid of that at all. And then if you miss class at all, no worries. We now, after 2.5 years, have a license approved for an Apple podcast. Praise God. So, yes. Y'all can't even imagine the amount of times that's been on my checklist. So, here it is. Here it is. This is the landing page on the website. Here it is on Apple. It's about to be approved on Spotify. The Bible on Apple Podcasts. That's pretty good, right? Like, that's pretty helpful for the world, I think. So hopefully God will do something important with that. It helps all of us for when we have vacations. So don't hesitate to check it out and get plugged in. Another sign up. So donuts. Yes, there should be a donut sign up list going around or already up. Not to stress y'all out, but in the past, after the first class, it has been full. So, like, high grace, high expectations, donut list full, first class, you read it, you know? So let's fill it up as much as possible, because that makes all of our lives easier. You get the sugar you want on a Sunday morning. I don't have to hunt anyone down. It'll be great. We have a sign-up genius and a wonderful team who will send you reminders and everything like that. And lastly, name tags. So Megan and Matt Moderim, if you would raise your hands. Yes, Megan and Matt are the people to see about name tags. Megan and Stephanie were standing back here behind the table that has the little sign-up sheet. Name tags are $5. I know some of you have paid in the previous and are still waiting on your name tag. We're going to get a nice big batch together, submit it to the designers, and you will have your very own magnetic name tag. So with that, we are here. Any questions about the marathon of announcements? Any other announcements that I might have missed? Okay. All right, so just to kind of settle in, as we prepare to kick off this first Sunday in the fall, to see what God has for us today and what we'll read, I just want to remind you that this has always been about the experience of being with God. Yes, these are ways to connect. Yes, bring your book and a highlighter. Don't bring your Luke study journal. Bring your Acts study journal and a highlighter. Come consistently. But most importantly, we factor in things like this, like the memory verse, for a reason, because the whole point of showing up here consistently is to be consistently formed, to be consistently oriented towards God and what God has for not only for you, but the people that you'll go out into this world and be around and communicate with and be in a relationship with. So we're going to say our spring memory verse, and then I'll show you the fall memory verse. Okay? All right. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. So we said that every single class last spring, remember? And we never even made it to Acts 17, which is so ironic. So I thought we'd just do the inverse, and I picked the fall one from chapter 4. Why not? Looked important, so I picked it. So this is our new one. As I was thinking about like the different memory verses and what they've covered, you know, the last one was about the temple, and we're reading all about how Acts is creating like this new temple, but the temple is the people, because it was never really about the walls of the building. It was about what God is doing with and in that space, and now with and in these people called Christians. So this new memory verse has a different flair to it. Let's say it together for the first time. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So we have read that earlier in the year. And some of the things that stuck out to me were no other name. That phrase might sound a little bit churchy if you've heard it in other songs and stuff, but like that's kind of wild that, yeah, Philippians 2 is talking all about at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. At the name of God, like the fact that we have God's name and we know what it is to be pursuing a God who can offer us saving and literally a saving grace is pretty amazing, because the world is obviously in brokenness and in need of salvation. So we'll repeat that every single class right at the beginning, just to kind of get ourselves settled and oriented. So with that, would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, thank you for every single person in this room. And those who will listen online, thank you for the community you're building here within The Root, within St. Andrew, within North Texas and this world. May we be a beacon of light that is very evidently reflecting your calling on us to be stewards of your grace and of your love, to reflect you in all we do and say, and to be in constant pursuit of you, that we may come to know you better, to be better, truer disciples of you. All this we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so to get started, I thought we would take a glimpse at our recap.
The Book of Acts. It's the second volume of a unified two-part work that today we call Luke-Acts. These were written by the same author, Luke, who was a traveling co-worker with Paul. This is clear from the book's introduction, where Luke says, "I produced my first volume," that's the gospel, "about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach." Now, Luke's giving a clue here as to what this book of Acts will be about. Volume 1 was about what Jesus began to do and to teach. Volume 2 will then be about what Jesus continued to do and teach. Which leads to a really interesting point about the book's traditional but not original name, the Acts of the Apostles. While different apostles do appear in most of these stories, the only single character who unifies the whole story from beginning to end is Jesus himself, acting directly or through the Spirit. And so the book would more accurately be named The Acts of Jesus and the Spirit. The book's introduction recounts how the risen Jesus spends some 40 days with the disciples, teaching them about the kingdom of God. This connects back to the story of Luke's gospel, where Jesus claimed that he was restoring God's kingdom over the world, beginning with Israel. So he called Israel to live under God's reign by following him. And he was enthroned as king when he gave up his life and then conquered death with his love. And so the book of Acts begins with the risen King Jesus instructing his disciples about life in his kingdom. So he promises that the Spirit will soon come and immerse them in his personal presence. And this fulfills one of the key hopes from the Old Testament prophets, that in the Messianic kingdom, God's presence, his Spirit, would come and take up residence among his people in a new temple and transform their hearts. And so Jesus says, when this happens, the Spirit will empower his disciples to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. From here, Jesus is taken up from their sight in a cloud. It's an image drawn from the book of Daniel, chapter 7. It shows how Jesus is now being enthroned as the Son of Man, who was vindicated after his suffering and now shares in God's rule over the world. And so he promises that he will return one day. And so the main themes and the design of the book of Acts flow right out of this opening chapter. This is a story about Jesus leading his people by the Spirit to go out into the world and invite all nations to live under his reign. And so the story will begin with that message spreading in Jerusalem and then into the neighboring regions of Judea and Samaria, full of non-Jewish people, and then from there out to all of the nations into the ends of the earth. This video is just going to focus on the first half of the book. So the Jerusalem focus section begins with Jesus' followers waiting until the Feast of Pentecost, when all of these Jewish pilgrims from all over the ancient world were in the city. And the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples as a great wind, and something like flames appear over each person's head, and together they start announcing and telling stories of God's mighty deeds. And they're speaking in all of these languages that they didn't know before, but all the people gathered there understand perfectly. Now, in order to see what Luke's emphasizing in this story, it's crucial to see the Old Testament roots of all of these images. So first, the wind and the fire is a direct allusion to the stories about God's glorious fiery presence filling the tabernacle and the temple. And it's also connected to the prophetic promises that God would come and live by his Spirit in the new temple of the Messianic kingdom. And so here in Acts, God's fiery presence comes to dwell not in a building, but in his people. Luke is saying that the new temple promised by the prophets is Jesus' new covenant family, the people of Jesus, which connects to the second thing Luke is trying to say here. So the prophets promised that when God came to dwell in his new temple, he would reunify all the tribes of Israel under the Messianic king, and that the good news of God's reign would go out and be announced to the nations. Luke describes in detail the international multi-tribe makeup of all of the Israelites who were there at Pentecost and who responded to Peter's message. And so the apostles keep calling Israelites to acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah, and thousands upon thousands respond, forming new communities of generosity and worship and celebration. But not everybody's celebrating. From here, Luke shows how Jesus' new family quickly faced hostility from the Jerusalem leaders. With a really beautiful symmetrical design, Luke tells a tale of two temples. So God's new temple, the community of Jesus' followers, they're gathering every day in the temple courts and from house to house. Now, in between those notices are two stories about Peter and the other apostles healing people in the temple courts, only to get arrested by the temple leaders, followed each time by a speech of Peter claiming that Jesus is the true king of Israel. And at the center of all this is a story about Jesus' followers donating property and possessions to a common fund to help the poor. Which is really cool, but it seems kind of random for Luke to mention it here, until you realize that this was a practice described in the laws of the Torah and was supposed to be happening through the Jerusalem temple and its leaders. So Luke's point here is clear. The new temple of Jesus' community is fulfilling the purpose that God always intended for the Jerusalem temple, to be a place where heaven and earth meet, where people encounter God's generosity and healing presence. And this conflict between the two temples, it culminates in Acts chapter 6 and 7. It's the first wave of persecution. So Jesus' followers, they continue to multiply, requiring more leaders. And one of these, Stephen, he's a bold witness for Jesus in Jerusalem. And he ends up getting arrested, and he's accused of speaking against and even threatening the temple. And so Stephen here gives a long speech showing how Israel's leaders have always rejected the messengers God sent them, including Jesus and now his disciples. So the Jerusalem leaders are enraged. They murder Stephen, and they launch a wave of persecution against Jesus' followers that drives most of them from the city. But it has a paradoxical effect. Luke shows how this tragedy actually became the means by which Jesus' people are now sent out into Judea and Samaria. Now, in this section, Luke has collected a diverse group of stories that all show how the mostly Jewish, Jerusalem-based community of Jesus became a multi-ethnic international movement. So first is the mission of Philip into Samaria. It's the land of Israel's hated enemies, and many of them come to follow Jesus. Next, we have the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, later known as Paul. He was the sworn enemy and persecutor of Jesus' followers until he personally met the risen Jesus, and he then became a passionate advocate on behalf of Jesus. Next is the story of Peter having a vision about how God doesn't consider non-Jewish people ritually impure or unworthy of joining Jesus' family. And so Peter, he's led by the Spirit into the house of a Roman soldier, just full of non-Jewish people, and they all respond to the good news about Jesus. In fact, the Spirit shows up powerfully upon them, just as he did to the Jewish disciples back in chapter 2. These themes all come together in the founding of the church in Antioch, the largest, most cosmopolitan city in that part of the Roman Empire. And Luke, he tells us that Barnabas, a Jewish leader from the Jerusalem church, went along with Paul to help lead this church community. And so it became the first large multi-ethnic church in history. It was where Jesus' followers were called Christians for the first time. And it's from here that the first international missionaries were sent out. And so we see Jesus' commission coming true, and this takes us into the rest of Luke's story. But for now, that's the first half of the book of Acts.
So that's where we've been. I'm confident they did it a lot faster than I could have ever done that. So hopefully that was a little entertaining. What I want you to do is, if you have your Bible or your Bible journal, go ahead and flip it open. And I want you to go to chapter 2. Way back at the beginning, where we started this journey. And I want you to look at chapter 2, verse 1, and we're going to read just a few key paragraphs throughout the first part of Acts so that when we start, we can really start. Like, we really remember and we can recall what God and the Holy Spirit have done in this whole time. So, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak to each other in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem. There were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us is hearing them in our own native language?" Let's pause there before all the complicated names. Okay, you get the point. In chapter 2, that is the formal introduction, like the "hello, my name is" of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that the Spirit hasn't been active and moving all throughout the narrative of Scripture and of this world. God is triune, remember? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so those are three persons of one God. The Spirit, as it comes, the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, is something brand new, because this is now a way, like Jesus promised, that God can be with people in a completely different type of presence, like a personal presence, like an indwelling. It's like, I always think of it like guttural, like it's just God is in them. The Spirit is in them in a way that Jesus wasn't, right? Jesus had a certain height and weight, a certain hair color, like fully God but fully man. And so because of that, limited, right? In time and space, in terms of ability to be among people. He had a lifespan, and it had a start date, and it had a crucifixion date. What a lot of people didn't expect for it to have a resurrection date, okay? And so we have the Son, Jesus. Jesus is unique and different than everyone else, and Jesus had said, where I'm going, you cannot come, but don't worry, I'm sending you someone far better, in the sense of better, present in a way that I cannot be. Present in a way that God can constantly be within you, building up this faith in the same God that is Jesus, in the same God that is the Father, the one who created the cosmos, the Creator, Genesis 1. So we have the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost, bringing this new, complete kingdom in a different way. And we have, as those people who are filled up with the Holy Spirit start to go out and start to do, what do? They start to spread the gospel. They start to embody Matthew 28, the Great Commission. From Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, take this message and tell someone. I just finished reading this book called Nonverts for this riveting cathedral theologian group that I'm a part of. And we are reading it for fun, which is also a sign of nerdy world. And we come together and discuss it. And in this Nonverts book, it was talking about how there are some people who have never been religious. That's what the world right now in data is calling nuns, N-O-N-E-S. But then there are nonverts, and that is the growing trend of people who were once religious falling, as we would say, like falling away or becoming less religious. Okay, are you with me? So as we're reading and talking about the book of Acts and the people who are constantly being attracted to the faith in some ways, and other people who are constantly persecuting the faith, it shouldn't be that far off of from understanding, right, how two sides come to see the gospel. Those who are for Christ and those who are not. That's the way the Bible puts it. Are you for Christ or are you not? That makes a lot of us uncomfortable in a world of like, this is yes or no, black and white. No gray area, like clear cut. But that's scripture. If you're not for God, then you're against God. And so that's really hard, and that's a hard truth for people to understand in the book of Acts when they're growing this church, because people want to know, like, who are you for? And in a pagan first century world where they're bringing together many chapters we've already read, like they're going home and getting like their wreaths and their idols and their statues, and they're bringing them forward like an offering, because the pagan society is all about these multiple gods and what can they do for me? Rain, fertility, sun, crops, this, that, like every single one of those has its own role to play. And so in this world where the gospel message is spreading, it falls on deaf ears sometimes, and on others it's quite attractive. And so it grows. And then in chapter, I want you to flip with me to chapter 9. When all of a sudden, one of the people who was proposing all of the stress and hatred and persecution for these new Christians, they weren't even called Christians yet, for these new followers of the way of Christ, sharing this message, this guy, Saul, he was there at the stoning of Stephen. He was there cheering it on, right, collecting the coats. And we see now this complete 180 in chapter 9. So we're going to read starting at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He replied, "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up, he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Then I want you to turn to chapter 11, verse 21. This is describing now the movement of Peter and others who are now spreading the gospel in other areas. Stephen has now been killed. They're going now to launch the church in Antioch, the home, essentially, besides Jerusalem. The headquarters, if you will, aside from Jerusalem, is Antioch. Verse 21, "The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch." So 11:26, chapter 11, verse 26, is the very first time in the Bible that the word Christian is used. The very first time that our faith has had something to point back to and say, "I'm a Christian, they're Christian." Sure, we can be followers of the way, that via. We can be followers of Christ, and we are. Christian technically means like little Christ. It means to follow Jesus, to be of the crowd of Jesus, but obviously not to be Christ. And so Christians, first at Antioch, they're called. And then we come to chapter 14. And that's where we left off in May. We left off starting at chapter 15. The council at Jerusalem is far too great to start today. So I wanted to paint you a collage of where we've been, and I want you to hear this last paragraph from chapter 14. This is the map of what's happening in the meantime. Chapter 14, verse 21. "They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. When they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, they said, 'We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God.' They said, 'Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. after going through Pisidia, and they came into Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together, reported on all that God had done through them, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. I'm less concerned that you know the exact route on the map, although that's helpful to see real places and the length of journey. It's thought that the Apostle Paul walked 10,000 miles in his over three journeys. What I'm more concerned with is that you see verse 26 and 27 and just see how the church grew was because they went away and came back. They went away and came back. They went away and they weren't afraid to talk about what God was doing. And I don't think that's too dissimilar from St. Andrew and Plano and us today. Like, we will all go away from here this morning, and we will all hopefully come back next Sunday, right? And so if we were the early church, really the way we would do this is that we would all, you know, team up probably in a group prayer before the route ends, which we will, and we would probably all take a section of the area. That's what they did, right? I'm going here. I'll take Barnabas with me. We'll go there. Okay, you'll go here. Okay, you'll stay. And they all had a bit of strategy, but at the end of the day, what did they have in common when they shared the gospel? They all were dependent upon the Holy Spirit. There was no teleprompter that when they got there and they started talking to the people in the synagogue or then in the people to the wider courtyards or the piazzas looking areas, there wasn't some teleprompter that they just read an automatic track. It wasn't like that. They were depending constantly about the Holy Spirit, pulling through, sharing with them what the gospel was. And I think it's so funny that when they come back, they reported back. That sounds kind of intense, right? Like if I had y'all report back next Sunday, how much stress does that already give you thinking about, right? How nervous would that make some of us? Yeah, sure, understandably. But what they are doing in that reporting back is they are continuing to share in the mission and the calling over and over and over again. While it can be so individualized in the way we see Peter or Paul or Stephen, they represent and they know they're part of something much larger than just them. And that is the call of this life we have as Christians. That's what makes the community worth having, the route worth being in, the coffee and the donut time worth chatting during. We can go in our closets and read the Bible, and we'll learn a lot. You might retain a lot doing that, but where will you see God at work the most? In each other, and in relationships, and in your real life. Monday through Saturday, Sundays too, but don't limit the church, don't limit the gospel sharing to Sunday and just listening. Life's way too short for that. And if these people had done it, none of us would be sitting here. So thankfully they didn't. When we come back on next Sunday, we'll address the council at Jerusalem, which is a huge turning point during the book of Acts. From here, we're about to see the continuation of Paul's missionary journeys, but the rise of Christianity and the rise of persecution. And we'll have the next 13 chapters to enjoy a lot of really good stories, a lot of hard stories, but I think you'll find them really relatable. So with that, I'll pray. We'll do the joys and concerns. And I have one more announcement for you, and then we can go. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, thank you for bringing us all back here safely for the beginning of this fall series. Thank you for your holy gospels and your scriptures that are written so that we can come to know you better. Show us where we are in this world navigating as Christians so that we can be rightfully and confidently spreading your gospel message to others who so desperately need it, and in turn, receiving it ourselves from those you put in our path to share it with us. It can't be shared enough, God. We know that, and we commit to being on the mission you send us on as we go from this Sunday, wherever that is and whoever that includes. God, we commit to being open to what your Holy Spirit will do in those relationships and moments and experiences. And we ask for your grace and your love with us, bolstering us up as we go and do those works. All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. The joys and concerns were written down, and we're going to really work to lift these up in class. So if you have a private joy and concern, please email those to me. I want to know how to be praying for y'all. But if you have some for the community, it would be great for us to know how to pray for each other. Thank you so much. So we have here Debbie lifting up her daughter Jennifer as she continues prayers for healing of lymphoma. We have a prayer from Jerry for prayers for healing for my daughter Marty. Did I say that right? Marty, who had a stroke. Wow. I know there are a prayer I have for a congregation member that I just visited on Thursday in hospice who just passed away this morning, I was told. And so many others that we all carry with us. Joys, of course, of being having the kickoff season soon and back to school, and prayers for all of the educators and students and families supporting educators and students with all of that. But are there any other prayers that didn't get lifted up here that you would like to lift up? Okay, we'll say, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. My last announcement is this. So it's 10:29, Gold Star. That's amazing. Gold Star for you and me. Gold Star all around. Going forward, so that we can navigate timing, I'm really going to aim to end us at 10:25, so just a few minutes early. Nobody has to leave this room really until 11. We have this space. There are coffee and donuts. There's great community. So please, 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 just because I need to exit in the next few weeks, I'm teaching Scott Engel's class like today at 11. So I will be going. Don't feel rushed, please. With that said, the earlier we can get started, obviously the more we can cover in the book of Acts. So in the past, I really try and start, in the past I've started around 9:45. I'm going to try to inch that up as we go. So come early for community, stay late for community. I'm going to try to start teaching a lot closer to 9:35 than 9:45. So plan accordingly, or walk in late, doesn't bother me. So as long as you're cool with it, you know, whatever, you do you. But with that, go in peace. It's great to see y'all again. I'm so glad. Can't wait for next Sunday. Take care. Hey, y'all. Thanks for joining us here at the Root Community and Podcast. Hope that this class has been fruitful and eye-opening as to what God is doing in your life specifically. Until we meet again, I'll be praying for you. I ask that you pray for me, and we will journey through life in Christ together.